بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الخلق أجمعين، محمد وآل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين، اللهم صل وسلم. We are still with Al-Kafi and on hadith number 15 of the chapter on innovations, opinion and guesswork. We said last time about the ways of ijtihad according to fiqh of Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam depends on getting ahkam either from the Holy Quran or from a hadith of the Holy Prophet and Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam, and on certain issues with first aql, reason, and ijma' of ulama, consensus of all ulama. Of course, ijma' is because it shows, if all Shia ulama say about one point, that shows naturally there must be a genuine source for that idea. For example, if all Shia ulama say temporary marriage is halal, now we know temporary marriage is halal because all of them say that, so that is one of the ways to prove it. Of course, by itself is not a proof, because the proof has to be from Quran and Sunnah. But if all Shia ulama throughout history says about one thing, naturally that shows they must have a right hadith or a clear understanding from the ayahs of Quran and a hadith that it is halal. So they say by itself is not actually a source, but it clarifies to us that there must be some hadith. That is why all ulama have accepted it. And aql also, reason, because whatever aql decides, naturally shara is not against aql, is not against reason. Islamic views are never against reason. But then on religious issues, the reason cannot decide on thousands of masail. We have to get these masail from hadith, the details of hadith. Naturally, contradiction is not there, so it may be rejected on aql basis as contradiction on similar things. So we return from four into actually two main sources, actually for the mujtahid to read and then decide about fiqh issues. The first or main source is the Holy Quran, and the second source is the sunnah of the Holy Prophet and Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam. This is why Holy Prophet said, "Inni tarikum fikum istaqlain or istaqlain kitabullah wa itrati ahli bayti." I'm leaving behind me two weighty things, the Book of Allah and my progeny among my household. Ma intamassaktum bihuma, if you catch hold both of them, not one, both of them, lan tadallu ba'di abada, you will never go astray after me. These are the two main sources. Now some of the fuqaha, at times of, well, after the Holy Prophet, to say in the first or second century of Islam, they faced many issues where they did not have a clear hadith of the Holy Prophet and no clear ayah for that. So they did not know what to do now. Some issues on fiqh and there is no reply for it. So what they did, some of them, they used their own ideas. This is called Ra'i. Ra'i means opinion. So Ashab al-Ra'i, some people say if there is no hadith and no clear ayah about an issue, you use your own idea and decide about it. Others, they say istihsan. We say which one you like, you choose the one that you like it more. And the third, which was known by Abu Hanifa, qiyas. Qiyas means comparing two issues, and if the judgment in one issue is clear, so you compare the other issue with the same. So you say this is qiyas. Naturally, all these three ways, and there are many others used by Sunni scholars, all are not Islamic way and not accepted by Islam, because if you use your own opinion, then what you say is your opinion, not Allah's word. Islam is Allah's word, and the Holy Prophet also what he says, because Allah said, "Ma yantiqu anil hawa in huwa illa wahyun yuha." It is but a revelation comes to him. He will not say of his own. So we accept the Prophet because what he says is what Allah is saying. So now we leave Allah and we leave the Prophet and we depend on our own opinions or what we like it. Now if some another mujtahid likes something else, then it's up to him, but whatever is likeliness. So this is Ashab al-Ray or Istihsan or Qiyas. These are rejected in school of Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam. These hadiths are pointing out to this matter, that using our own opinions and ideas is not right, but we have to have a clear-cut hadith from the Holy Prophet or Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam about any issue. Otherwise, we cannot use our own opinion. We see in hadith number 15, عن أبان بن تغلب عن أبي عبد الله عليه السلام. Imam Sadiq alayhi salam is saying, As-Sunnah, the Prophet's deed, utterances, and his unspoken approval, the divine order is understood by this. Well, he translated here As-Sunnah, the meaning of Sunnah of the Prophet means the Prophet's deeds, whatever the Holy Prophet practices is called Sunnah, his practices. Or whatever utterances, whatever things he has accepted. I mean, somebody is praying in front of him and he accepted his prayer. Somebody is saying something and he accepted his speech. The acceptance it means that it's true and correct, genuine. And his, utterances is his speeches, and his unspoken approval is what he says. Unspoken approval. He approved certain facts, and that means it was good. If it was wrong, then the Holy Prophet would not have approved it. So all these are called sunnah. So either these, the practices of the Prophet, or his saying, or unspoken approval of the Prophet called Sunnah, the general. So Imam Sadiq alayhi salam says, a Sunnah can never be guessed. In the Sunnah la tuqas. Here guessed, actually the translation, you should not use qiyas in Sunnah of the Prophet. Guess is one, but not the right translation actually. But he translated qiyas at the beginning of this chapter as guesswork, deriving conclusion on the basis of similarities. So, qiyas. Then Imam alayhi salam is saying why qiyas is wrong, is giving one of the practical examples. Don't you see that the women have to perform their fasting for the period of their menses after the month of Ramadan? But they have not to perform their daily prayers after their menstrual period. Although offering prayers stands at a higher level than fasting. O Aban, if a sunnah are manipulated on the basis of semblances and appearances, the religion of Allah will totally be annihilated. إن السنة إذا قيست محق الدين. So Imam said if on similarities we have to go, then at time of the cycle, why the woman should fast, should do qada of Ramadan month, but will not do qada of her prayer? Because the prayer is more important than fast, no doubt. And if we have to go with our guess and ideas, then he said the one which is more important, she has to do qada of it. And the one which is less important, not necessary qada. While on Islamic issues, you say the reverse. The prayer which is important, more important, the woman is not supposed to do qada of it. But fasting, which is less important, if her cycle came at the time of Ramadan month, naturally she cannot fast in Ramadan month, but later on she has to do qada of it. So, Imam said, إن السنة إذا قيست محق الدين. If we use our own semblances by sunnah, then we'll annihilate the religion, we'll destroy the ideas of religion. Again, in hadith number 16, Uthman ibn Isa saying, I inquired of Abu Abdullah, Abu al-Hasan Musa alayhi salam, about qiyas, for deriving the conclusions on the basis of appearances and similarities regarding divine commands. Well, this is just a translation of meaning of qiyas. The Imam replied, what concern do you have with such conclusion? Verily Allah will never ask you how and why certain things have been made lawful and others unlawful. Actually here it is in not Allah will not ask. So translation may not be right. Allah cannot be asked. Not that He will not ask us. We are not allowed to ask Allah why He made certain things halal and why He made certain things haram. Translation, Allah not will never ask you. Allah cannot be asked how and why certain things have been made lawful and others unlawful. You see, when Allah said this, then we have to accept it. We cannot ask Allah on what basis you made this halal and what basis you made this haram. On what basis Maghrib prayer is 3 rak'at and morning prayer is 2 rak'at and Dhuhr prayer is 4 rak'at. We can't say on what basis. Whatever He has decreed has to be accepted. So we have no right to ask on what basis. This means we cannot use qiyas because it is our own basis of understanding. We cannot use right, our own opinion, so that is not the right thing. So we see how imams are. So another hadith is number 18, is also interesting about qiyas, and that I from Abu Abdullah alayhi salam are saying Iblis, Satan, judged himself by qiyas, comparing the appearances of Adam with himself, and said, "Oh Allah, you have created me from the fire and created Adam from the clay." If he, Iblis, had compared the essence and the quintessence with which Allah has created Adam, he would have understood that the essence with which Adam was created far excels in radiation to the radiation of the fire with which Satan was created. The Imam alayhi salam uses another example for qiyas, that is wrong way. He says in some other hadith, the first one who used qiyas was Iblis. Because Iblis, when Allah told him to do prostration for Adam, he said, "No, He has created me from fire and He created Adam from clay. Well, I am superior to Adam, so I should not prostrate to him." So he used qiyas. "I am from fire, superior to him from clay." He thought, on his own opinion, he is right, so he should not do sujood, and he disobeyed Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So those who do qiyas are actually following the same footsteps of shaitan, and that should not be done. Then Imam alayhi salam clarifies it more, that if Iblis himself, he would have compared the main essence through which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created Adam and the essence of Iblis, he would have known that the essence of Adam is far more lightening than the fire. Well, essence of Adam, Adam being having aql, and aql has more light than light of the father, fire, and has more value than value of the fire. So the main thing with Prophet Adam alayhi salam is Allah has taught him everything and gave him aql and knowledge and knowing all names, etc. So his essence is far superior to the essence of Iblis, that he was thinking he is from fire and fire is more important than flame. But that is the way how he used qiyas, and qiyas is not accepted. We see the hadith number 20, same thing. Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam, once he saw Abu Hanifa and he told him, "Oh Abu Hanifa, I hear that you use qiyas." Abu Hanifa said yes. Then Imam told him, "Don't use qiyas. The first one who used qiyas was Iblis when he said, you have created me from fire and created him from clay. And he compared between fire and clay. If he would have compared between the light of Adam alayhi salam and the small light of the fire, he would have known which one is more important and more clearer." So the rest of the hadith are discussing on this subject, that we are never allowed to use our own opinions on religious matters. We have to refer to the Holy Quran and Sunnah of the Holy Prophet and Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam. Of course, here some of the people, they use these hadith. They say the marja is doing the same because he's doing ijtihad and he's not following all the hadith. Sometimes he uses his own opinion. Now, is that of the same category? The opinion of the marja is of the same category, or it is of a different category?
and explicit. These hadith show that we should not follow our own opinion. It means ijtihad is not right and we should not follow a mujtahid. Of course, no, the matter is not like this. Because the marja' will not use his own opinion. He will read and study the Holy Quran and the hadith of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam and try to understand the meaning of them and try to compare a hadith. Some of them might be wrong, some of them are right. And he chooses the right hadith from the wrong ones and follow the right ones. So his ijtihad is not following his own opinion actually. Because he don't follow his opinion. He has so many hadith and he chooses. Sometimes there is contradiction between a hadith. So he chooses whatever suitable on the basis of which hadith is right and which hadith is not right or weak or the narrators are not understood and so on different ways. So the mujtahid actually is using his efforts and knowledge and ability not to follow his idea but to understand the Holy Quran and the hadith in a best possible way. So it's not according to this that he's following his right, his opinion or qiyas or other things. That is not used by our marajah at all. Well, some who believe on akhbar or the akhbaris, they say we don't need ijtihad, we follow only a hadith. Only we read the tradition and we tell the people that this is the tradition and this is its meaning. Now it's up to you to whatever you understand and whatever you want to follow. They say it is better to go in this way and tell people only a hadith. So the people will understand hadith of the Holy Prophet or the Imam and follow it. So I have not put my opinion in it at all. Well, why they say that? Because they want to avoid putting their own opinion with the hadith. So they said, if somebody asks me a mas'ala, I will reply the same as the meaning of the hadith. But you see, in this way, again they are using their own ijtihad. Because some of the hadiths are contradicting. Now what he will do? He has to reject one and accept one. So that is, he has chosen something. Some of the hadiths, their meanings are not very clear in Arabic. Now he has to explain it to the person that this is the meaning. Now when you say this is the meaning, you are using your own opinion. Maybe another alim said, well, I think the meaning is not this. The meaning is something else that is meant on other basis. So now two people can explain one hadith in two different meanings, and this is exactly the ijtihad. To say the mistake. So depending on a hadith itself, again, will not be useful for ordinary public people. But I read the hadith and I know. It is like the sick when he said, okay, I will read medical books. In medical books, I go and read, well, if you have headache, you can use this and that tablet and that is all. Well, this is not useful. This is useful for doctors as a mujtahid in their own field. Because we know different types of headache and different medicines used for headache. And now this patient, what that and what medicine is needing. Now, one hadith to be taken alone may not verify fact. One has to take all the hadith together and compare them with the Quran and then read the narrators, life history of narrators, which one is trustworthy and compare the meaning and then come out with common idea. So reading one hadith alone may not give us all the pictures because so many other hadiths either contradicting or will say atal mustaqiyya or some of the hadith shows mustahab. Imam says do it. Do it means it is mustahab and sometimes say do it means wajib. So now both is good to be encouraged. How to differentiate between mustahab and wajib? Is the order which comes, you say, you do it. You do means what? Is it obligatory you should do it? Or is it recommended you should do it? On what a hadith when you say do it is wajib, on what a hadith it is mustahab. So that one has to compare all the hadith. Now if you see sana hadith, in two or three correct hadith, it says up to you, but if you do it better. And in another hadith, they said you do it. So now, eight hadith shows it is wajib, but two hadith which are also correct shows it is mustahab. So here we can understand that do it the order in those hadith is because it is recommended, not because it is obligatory. So that is how the mujtahid, you know, take the ahkam. He will not follow his own opinion. Naturally, he will go through a hadith and through the Holy Quran. So the system of ijtihad is not actually is rai or qiyas or istihsan. No, we never use these systems by a mujtahid. Now some people sometimes doubt, they say that the 10 points are not mentioned in the Quran or Hadith. Actually, the chapter number 20 saying that contrary to that. 20 chapter on taking every case back to the Quran and the Sunnah. Verily, there is nothing from what is lawful and what is unlawful and what is needed by the mankind. But the Book of Allah and the Sunnah includes it. You see the first Hadith and Murajim from Abu Abdullah alayhi salam is saying, verily Allah the Almighty has revealed in Quran the description of each and everything to such an extent as to leave out nothing which mankind needs. The description is so all-inclusive that there is nothing a man could wish, saying, will it be revealed in the Quran, but is already revealed in it. Well, this is very clear hadith. An imam is swearing by Allah. He said, by Allah, Allah has not left anything which the people need except has included it in the Holy Quran. Whatever the people may wish, that I wish if I know this thing in Quran or if it has been mentioned in Quran, whatever the people will wish, it is already mentioned and revealed in the Holy Quran. But, well, that is why I say, وَكُلَّ شَيْءٍ أَحْصَيْنَاهُ فِي إِمَامٍ مُبِينٍ. Everything we have gathered in a clear imam. So not everybody knows the muhkam and mutashabih and zahir and batin and nasikh and mansukh of the Holy Quran. We need to refer to the imam who is infallible, and he will explain the details of the Quran. And that is why the Holy Prophet did not say that I am leaving behind me the Holy Quran alone. He said two weighty things, the Quran and Ahlul Bayt. So they are the one who can explain things for us. You see, hadith number two, same meaning from Imam al-Baqir alayhi salam, that he said Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not leave anything which is needed by Ummah except it has been mentioned in the Quran and clarified for the Holy Prophet. And he knows for everything there is a limit, and there is a sign for it. So anybody who exceeds that limit of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he deserves a punishment. So again, insisting that everything is mentioned. Well, the third hadith is again like that. The fourth hadith is also having that nothing exists but it has been described in the book of Allah and as-sunnah. So either book of Allah or sunnah of the Prophet. Here said as-sunnah. Of course, as-sunnah will clarify the Quran more. It's not contradicting the Quran. Well, the fifth hadith, Imam is insisting on this matter. And again, the sixth hadith, clarifying why we do not find it. Imam said, there can be no issue which is the subject of dispute between two persons, but whose essence and solution is found in the Holy Book of Allah, the Almighty. However, the intelligence of the people is not sharp enough to reach it. Our mind is not sharp enough to reach it, so we cannot reach it. But knowledge of the Imam, alayhim as-salam, can reach that. Well, hadith number 7 is a long hadith, but still concentrating on that. Well, hadith number 8 is interesting. We'll read it. Say, Abu Abdullah alayhi salam is saying, I have been given birth by the Messenger of Allah, because he is the grandson of the Holy Prophet. I know of the Book of Allah how the Creator originated and what will happen till the Day of Judgment. All is to be found in this Holy Book of Allah. It tells everything about the heaven, the earth, the paradise, the hell, and also about what has been and what will be. So everything which will happen till the Day of Judgment is mentioned in the Quran. We don't know about it. I know them all as clearly as though they were mirrored in the palm of my hand. Lo, Allah, the Almighty, has Himself proclaimed about His book. It contains the description of all things. Tibyanan likulli shay. Well, in Surah Al-Nahl, Ayah 89, where Allah said that it has the Holy Quran can clarify everything, naturally there must be there, but we don't know about it. Well, hadith number 9 again, Imam said the Book of Allah has everything, but at the end he said, but we know about it. So the Imam knows what is there in Quran. Hadith number 10, same thing, but Imam insisting that everything is mentioned in the Book of Allah and Sunnah of the Holy Prophet. Naturally, in Sunnah, Imam knows, but the people may not know about the Sunnah of the Prophet clearly.
we come to the chapter 21 باب اختلاف الحديث, chapter on conflicting traditions. And there are many traditions conflicting with each other. Now what to do and how to go with it. Well, the first hadith is detailed hadith from Imam Ali alayhi salam, from the book of Sulaym ibn Qais al-Hilali. Sulaym ibn Qais was one of the companions of Imam Ali alayhi salam. He wrote a book and he mentioned many historical facts in it besides some traditions, and he mentioned about what happened on the time of Bay'at for Fatima al-Zahra salam Allahi alayha, and the details of attack of her house and her going to the mosque, etc. Some of the ulama say this book is not very trustworthy, but Allama Majlisi, he said that I have a strong belief that it is a right book and trustworthy. And from what is mentioned in the book, from the language of mentioned of Ahadith, it shows that one can trust what is mentioned in that book. Now we see in this Hadith, in short, Imam alayhi salam was saying to people that about how the hadith are differing from each other, because Imam alayhi salam saying something but other people say something else. So Imam is explaining that what is in hand of people is haq and batil. Some of it is truth, some of them is falsehood. Some of it is right, some of it is just lying. Some of it is nasikh, abrogated, and some of the things which were abrogated. Some is aam and other is khas. Some is general law and some is special law. Now if it is special for certain occasions, you cannot use it on a general idea, and something which is general, you cannot apply it on certain occasions. So it depends on environment where that hadith was said. The people have to know that detail which they don't know. And there is muhkam and mutashabah. Muhkam and mutashabah, again, something looks very clear, right? Something are things look similar and misleading the idea. So only imams, they know how to explain these. Some of the people remember a hadith of the Holy Prophet. Some of them just guess that they have heard a hadith on the Prophet. So it's at the time of the Prophet, some people were attributing false statements to the Holy Prophet to such an extent that the Holy Prophet himself said, "O people, those who attribute false statements to me are in great numbers. Whoever attributes any false statement to me secures his abode in the hell." Then the Prophet went on attributing false statements to him after his death. Whatever traditions you the people have received are from four categories of narrators. There is no fifth category. Now here, Imam is explaining why the people do not, they differ with each other, and the Holy Prophet has explained it in advance. The first is a hypocrite who possesses himself as a believer and actually is a sham Muslim, attributing false statements to the Prophet intentionally, is not considered by him as a sin, nor does he mind such an attribution. Were the people even to know how false and hypocritical he is, they would never accept a word from him, nor would they corroborate his statement. It was this type of man about whom people started saying, "This is the one who had been honored by the company of the Prophet and who had actually seen and heard the Prophet." People accepted traditions from him without knowing his credentials. Allah the Almighty has told his Prophet about the hypocrite all what was to be told, and has detailed all the characteristics that were to be detailed. Allah the Almighty has said, "So when thou seest them, marvel thee their personalities, and if they speak, thou listen unto their speech." Well, here Imam is explaining about the first category, which are hypocrites, and Imam is explaining from the Holy Prophet that the Holy Prophet said, "The first group who will lie upon me are the hypocrites." The people do not know that they are hypocrites. They respect them because they were companions to the Prophet, but actually they were hypocrites. Even the Holy Quran has said that when you see them, you will like their body. They are very strong, good, nice looking.
And if they say, you will listen to them. But actually, they are munafiq. What is in their heart is not coming in their tongue and in their face. So now, they do not feel it is sin to lie upon the Prophet. So they can cook themselves a hadith and say the Prophet says, and the people believe them because they were companions. The people do not know their intention and do not know their ideas. So this is one of the categories, naturally, such a hadith which comes from these hypocrites are false hadith and false statements. The second category is he who has actually heard something from the Prophet but was not able to retain it in his mind and fell into doubt. He never intentionally told a lie, but he started speaking, practicing and propagating what he remembered incorrectly and sketchily, and at the same time claimed that I have heard the Prophet say so. If the Muslim community had known that he was in error, they would never have accepted his words. And if the man himself had known that he was mistaken, he would have himself rejected his own version. So now this is second category. The man hears something from the Prophet, but he do not retain it. Intentionally, he is not lying. And that is true, he hears the Prophet. But he did not know what he had heard exactly, and he followed his own idea and his own guess. So the Muslims, if they know that he is guessing and he has not retained things, they will not accept him. But they do not know, and they know he was a companion, he was a good man, he is not a liar, he is not a hypocrite. They accept him. So the problem is in his memory. He did not retain or did not understand him. Well, this ordinary man, the reason why he is giving wrong hadith, the Holy Prophet is explaining. The first category, hypocrites, they intentionally lie. This is the second category, they are not a liar, but they have misunderstood the hadith or misremembered the hadith. They hear something from the Prophet, he do not retain it, do not understand it, and he will follow what he has understood. He did not know or he did not remember exactly what the Prophet has said. And he thinks what he believes and what he understands is the right thing, which is not the right thing. Though he is a companion, though what he says, I mean, he is not a liar, he is a trustworthy, but the problem is with his memory and with his mind. So that is why sometimes he gives certain statements which are wrong. That is one of the reasons why certain traditions are wrong, though the people are trustworthy. It is because they did not retain the meaning of the hadith correctly. No special name, no. That is just category of people. Not munafiq, no. So they do not intend to lie, but they have not understood the thing properly. So what they say is wrong, but intentionally they are not lying. So that is the second. The third category is of the person who has heard the Prophet ordering something to be done, but the Prophet later on forbade the same. The man knows the former but is unaware of the latter. Or the man has heard the Prophet forbidding something, but afterwards the Prophet has made it permissible. The man knows the former but does not know the latter. But the man was in the know of the abrogated, but was not aware of it. Abrogated. If he had been aware that it had been abrogated, he himself would have withdrawn his own narrated tradition. If the Muslim had been in the know that the Prophet had cancelled what the man had related, they would have themselves rejected his version. So you see here, the third category of people, they hear the Prophet say something. That issue was abrogated later on. Now he did not hear what has been abrogated. What he says is right, he is not a liar, he is trustworthy, he was companion of the Prophet, so the people will follow him because what he says is right. They don't know that what he says is right, true, but this thing was abrogated and this man is unaware of it. If the Muslims would have known that the thing were abrogated, naturally they will not follow. But neither the Muslims know, nor he, the man himself, knows about it. So he relates to the Prophet the same things which were abrogated and he doesn't know about them. Naturally, then he will not say what Sharia is saying, you know, because whatever is abrogated should not be followed, the new thing should be followed. Now the fourth category are, the fourth and the last is the category of the person who had never attributed false statements to the Prophet and who hated false statements because of his fear of Allah and reverence for the Prophet. He never forgets anything from what he had heard from the Prophet. He always relates exactly what he had heard from the Prophet without adding anything to or subtracting anything from it. He is in the know of both what supersedes and also what has been superseded, or what has been abrogated actually. Hence he acts according to what supersedes, leaving aside the superseded. Verily the commands of the Prophet are also like the verses of the Quran, which consist of the superseded and superseding. Well, precise, well, the muhkam is the translate as precise, and the ambiguous or mutashabih, and multi-meaning. Like Quran, the Prophet's wording also had two aspects, that is the general and the specific. As Almighty Allah Himself has said, and whatever giveth you the apostle, you accept it, and from whatever prevented he, you be away. And he continued, so he said, the other person is trustworthy, he remembers everything, he says whatever the Prophet has said, and so on. And but sometimes the people who do not know the meaning of what the Prophet has said, it will be not clear for them, and they don't know what was the real intention of the Prophet by saying so. And not all companions of the Holy Prophet used to ask him about things and they understand him properly, and some of them were never asking him, never putting any questions. They liked that somebody from Bedouin, from other area, to come and ask the Holy Prophet so that they hear the reply. So after all this introduction, then Imam Ali alayhi salam is starting saying about himself that he used to enter the house of the Prophet every day and every night and sit with him and listen to him and talk to him and so on. And sometimes the Holy Prophet used to come to his house and used to talk to him. If I start, he will start teaching me and telling me. So whatever has been revealed to the Holy Prophet of any ayah of the Holy Quran, the Holy Prophet used to recite it to Imam Ali, and he used to write it with his words and tell him what is the real meaning and what is the tafsir of it, and what is nasikh and mansukh, and what is muhkam and mutashabah, and what is khas and am. And the Holy Prophet used to pray Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give him understanding, to give Imam Ali understanding of ayah and to remember it. So Imam said, by Allah, I did not forget any ayah of Allah, or any knowledge was said to me by the Holy Prophet, and I have written it. It is written. وما ترك شيئا علمه الله من حلال الحرام. The Holy Prophet did not leave anything of halal or haram or order or things forbidden or what was and what will be, except it has been taught to Imam Ali, and Imam Ali has remembered it, and he said, I have never forgotten any single letter of it. Then the Holy Prophet put his hand on the chest of Imam Ali and prayed Allah to fill it with knowledge and understanding and wisdom and life. So Imam Ali alayhi salam actually is explaining his position comparing to Ashab. He said Ashab are of that category. They may not understand the hadith properly and may have certain, either they have forgot or some weakness in their knowledge and did not know the hadith abrogated. But he himself alayhi salam, he knew everything exactly as it has been revealed to the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, has never forgotten anything and never missed anything of halal and haram, and what was created and what will be till Day of Judgment. So naturally, if we follow Imam Ali alayhi salam and other Ahlul Bayt, we can get the sunnah of the Prophet from its right and clean and pure source. If we follow others, then we'll go in the wrong direction. They may not be a liar all, some are hypocrites, some are not, but their understanding, their awareness, their remembering, their ability of knowing was limited. The only ability of Imam Ali alayhi salam was great, and that is by the prayer of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam for him. Well, one of the hadith says, they asked Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, that it is right, the hadith, إن الله خلق آدم على صورته. Almighty Allah has created Adam similar to his own face. Now, this hadith is very clear, and it's well known in Sunni books. And they showed, they think the meaning of the hadith is that Allah Almighty is a body and has a face, and he created Adam similar to the face of him, Almighty Allah. A'udhu Billah. Because hadith says this, and they say it is the right hadith. So he is asking Imam about this hadith. What do you say about this hadith? Imam alayhi salam said, well, hadith is true, but you did not understand the meaning of it. Then the companion is asking, what does it mean? He said, someone abused another Muslim. And he said, what a bad faith do you have? So the Prophet told him, don't abuse the faith of this Muslim, because Almighty Allah created faith of Adam similar to faith of this Muslim. So similar to his faith means to this Muslim's faith. When you say, what a bad faith you have, well, your faith and Adam's faith is the same. Don't abuse the faith. Faith is created by Allah. You can criticize the character and say, what a bad character you have, but you cannot criticize the faith and the creation, because human beings are created of the same faith and the same kind. So the reference of his is to this gentleman, and the people think his means Almighty Allah's faith. So here they know part of it, and they did not know the other part of the hadith. Things like that come. Well, even the fourth is not 100% right, because still their knowledge and understanding not 100%, but superior to them is the Imam who understood, realized, and was the Holy Prophet prayed for him to remember and realize it. So the only category is Ahlul Bayt alayhi wasalam, Imam Ali and his descendants, Imam Ma'soom alayhi wasalam. Because Imam Ali wrote, and Imam alayhi wasalam said, I have Al-Jami'ah. Al-Jami'ah is a book collected by, compiled by Imam Ali alayhi salam. It looks like a book of fiqh. All is ahadith of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which write everything halal and haram. So they asked Imam, from where you have this knowledge? He said, well, we have Al-Jami'ah. Al-Jami'ah, we said, is 40 yards long. A book 40 yards long. And everything was written by Imam Ali. And the Holy Prophet told him. So he said, if I have this source of knowledge, this is not available in hand of the people. They don't know what the Prophet said. But I have the main source of hadith, because it is with us, Ahlul Bayt alayhi wasalam. عندي مصحف فاطمة. مصحف is book, not Quran. Book of Fatima al-Zahra. Some, well, Abiyul, you say, she has another Quran, and that's called Quran of Fatima al-Zahra. Well, mصحف is means book. And for the Quran, sometimes use al-Mashaf al-Sharif, which means the Holy Quran. But when you say مصحف فاطمة, we do not mean Quran of Fatima al-Zahra. We mean the book of Fatima al-Zahra. The Imam said, we have a book. That book belongs to Fatima al-Zahra. It was also a book of ahadith, written by Imam Ali for Fatima al-Zahra, salamullahi alayha. So we have Al-Jami'ah, we have Mus'haf Fatima, and we have some other sources of knowledge. So only Imams have the right knowledge of the Sunnah of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and tafsir of the Holy Quran. The rest do not have. The rest get just certain guess or other things, and they do not have all the details. Well, we believe that the Book of Allah was compiled at the time of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yeah. And it was compiled by Imam Ali and was ready with him. It was not ready with all Muslims naturally. It was ready with Imam Ali alayhi salam. That is why, one of the ways to prove that why there must be a complete compiled Quran is that hadith. Because when Holy Prophet said Kitab Allah, means he has already left the Book of Allah. If Book of Allah is not there, then he cannot refer to it. So we believe it was compiled, and the Holy Prophet was more serious to look after compilation of the Holy Quran than Abu Bakr, Umar, or Uthman. If they felt responsibility to compile Quran, naturally the feeling of the Holy Prophet is more towards protection of Quran than anybody else. So the Holy Quran was compiled already at the time of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but